having me on. I appreciate it. My name is Jake Wojastik. I'm one of the founding members of TrendSpider. TrendSpider is a technical analysis platform. So it has all of the different capabilities for anybody who's doing technical analysis in the market and trading off of it. Anywhere from automation of trend lines, Fibonacci levels, overlaying multiple time frames on top of each other. For example, the daily versus the weekly Bollinger Band, something like that, as well as alerts. So for those that are trading and having alerts sent to them, this platform you cannot trade through yet, but you can still create alerts, and then you can go from TrendSpider and apply those alerts to your broker. So I'll go over all of these different examples, and I'll start with the first layer, which is really the automation layer. So we have a Tesla chart set up here, and you can see there's different buttons at the top. So each of these buttons is really something unique to the platform. And so when you turn on trends, you'll see these different trend lines pop up. And this particular feature is not really here to replace what you're doing by hand. It's there to complement what you're doing by hand and essentially be an idea generator for you. One, to help find setups that you're likely already looking for without having to draw them yourself. Two, to see setups that you may have not thought of. So there's a lot of times in the market where you're trading and you're really bullish or bearish on something, and your chart seems to just really confirm that bias that you have. And that can really be detrimental a lot of the time in trading, because you're really not looking at the full picture. You're just looking at your bias. And so what this does is it kind of helps you see other different perspectives in the market. So you can see here, this blue line here, if I double click on it and turn off trends, this blue line is going to stay in here. And honestly, this is one of those random lines. It's not a beautiful kind of like perfect trend line where like a lot of people want to see, but at the end of the day, a lot of times in the market, you're not going to have a perfect trend line. This is more of a line of best fit. It's acted as support. It's acted as resistance. It's acted more or less an area of interest for buyers and sellers. And in this case, you can see for Tesla, let's say I was really bullish on this, and then I see that we're still below this this kind of line of best fit here, which has been resistance in the past, at least initially. And so this allows you to kind of see these different perspectives that you're not necessarily thinking about, right off the top of your head if it doesn't conform to your bias. So this is really the idea generator part of things. For me personally, I like to look for symmetrical triangle setups, falling wedges, that type of thing. So that's how I use the platform. And you can actually tailor the preferences to your style. So if you don't like drawing trend lines connecting the wicks, you can change this to body, and you're now connecting body to body instead of wick to wick. And you're going to see that the system is then drawing those trend lines based on bodies rather than wicks. And so it's very flexible. It's not, like these are TrendSpider's 7 lines that it finds and that's it. The system is very robust, so you can really change any of these. Analysis type is really focused on the distance between candles. So if we switch this from enhanced, which is a more sensitive, kind of closer together candle setting, original is going to be a broader setting. So you'll see that a lot of these trend lines disappear, and it's looking at the longer term trends here. So it really depends on what type of style you have. In my case, let's just do enhanced. We'll do wick to wick. We'll apply. I really want to lock in this trend line here. I want to lock in this this upper line here. I turn off trends, and now we have this kind of symmetrical triangle setup that I want to watch. Now, I mentioned I want to watch it, but at the end of the day, I don't want to sit at the screen all day and watch, to see which trend line this breaks out of. So the second layer to the platform is the alert system. So what I can do is I can go in, I can create an alert on both sides of the line. So some people, their thing is to trade within this, within a particular setup. Maybe they want to trade it all the way to the apex before a breakout or whatever happens from here. Other people really want to identify a pattern and not trade that pattern until it breaks out, i.e. the price either breaks to the upside here or breaks to the downside for possibly a short or puts. So the way you can do this is and have the system watch these areas for you, you can go right click, create alert at this line. There's a few ways you can use this. So for somebody who maybe wants to trade just the kind of the pinball action in within this symmetrical triangle, you can use what's called the touch feature. and you can use sensitivity. So notice as I move this to the right and the left, the sensitivity zone gets bigger and smaller. So I'm identifying and defining the size of the margin of error or the amount of kind of dollar value that I want to be alerted around that trend line. So as I move to the right, it gets bigger. As I move to the left, it gets smaller. And it really allows you to have a little bit of flexibility in there. So you're not just creating an alert that says, alert me right when this line is touched. Because there's going to be times where that trend line just isn't touched. There's a reversal right before it, or you know, just at the, right before it gets to it. And that allows you to have some flexibility. So let's say that we create this, we want to swing trade the daily candle, but we want to be alerted at a shorter term time frame. If we change the confirmation candle down to 10 minutes, that means whenever the 10 minute candle closes in this purple area, you'll be alerted. Because right now we're on the daily candle. If the daily candle goes down into this zone and pops right back up, you're not going to get the alert until the end of the day, because the confirmation candle means that the daily candle has to close. So the 10 minute candle means that the 10 minute candle only needs to close in order to get alerted for this area. So this is really good for swing traders, day traders. The lower time frame you go, if we were on, let's say, the 30 minute chart, you would have a confirmation candle that could go down to the 5 minute. And we are working on getting these confirmation candles down to the 1 minute. But for now, this is how you can use it. If you are kind of a trader that trades within the pattern, the touch feature would be great. But if you are somebody who's simply just trading the breakout or the breakdown, you would use what's called the breakthrough feature. You would create a breakthrough alert on this lower trend line, create alert, and then you'd create another alert on the upper trend line. And then you just, and we change this down to 10 minute candle, choose our expiration. You can choose how long you want this alert to go for, create the alert. And not only does this help you do other things in life, so you don't have to look at the chart all day, even though some people love to do that. I love to look at charts all day, but there it becomes detrimental to your trading if you're just staring at the chart all day, because then you become impulsive. You start to get a little bored. You're like, oh man, I just want to pull the trigger. That is not the way to trade. The best way to trade is setting a criteria, setting a particular area of interest you want to trade, and you wait until the price gets there or hits those conditions, and then you make your move. So in this case, these alerts allow you to stick to your plan. You simply wait until one of these two alerts goes off, and then you play the direction. If you're simply just unbiased on Tesla and you just want to play the upside or the downside move on this breakdown or breakout of the symmetrical triangle, then you have the alert set, and then you go about your day until the price breaks up or down, and you stick to your plan. And your plan can simply be defining these two lines and waiting until either one of them hits with price action, and then you take action. So you're not trying to guess, and you're not trying to just be impulsive and just kind of trade to trade. You're trading based on criteria that you've created. So this is really helpful, and it can be applied to anything on the upper side of the chart. So let's just delete these trend lines. Let's throw up the Bollinger Band here on the chart. You can do this with anything. So here, let's say that you simply wanted to be alerted if the price gets anywhere near this upper band. You do the same thing. You'll see here that I can increase or decrease the sensitivity around that Bollinger Band. And this is the case for anything on the upper chart. So moving averages, Bollinger Bands, Fibonacci levels, trend lines that you can draw. So you can draw your own trend lines as well. So let's turn off Bollinger Bands. Maybe you want to, you know, draw a different trend line here. Maybe you want to connect it all the way up here and, you know, connect it to this, and you want to create your alert that way. Same thing. This could be used on annotations or automated trend lines, Fibonacci levels, anything like that. So the automated Fibonacci is also something that's nice. It is a function of the trend settings. So you'll see here, as I turn on the auto fib here, we're capturing this measured move here. If I change the trend settings to body, you'll see that that's going to actually change the auto fib as well. So it is a function of trends right now. We are working on making those two separate things, so you don't have to have the same settings as trends as you do auto fibs. But same thing, you can go in, create an alert at any of these levels. I personally don't have all my levels up. That's why you have these particular levels up. Those are just the levels I had on previously. But you can go in, double click, and you can change the levels you want to add, you want to subtract, you know, anything like that through our fib sequence properties tool. So that is something that's really nice as well, especially if you're a newer trader and you're just trying to get an idea of what maybe the system is finding for a measured move. This is a great way to use that. Now, we went over the dynamic alerts, which is the sensitivity alerts, the alerts that I just created on the trend line. But let's say that you're trading oscillators, like maybe the MACD. I like to use the Williams for scent range quite often. You can go in and actually create conditions for these as well. So you, instead of the dynamic alert, you go to create alert here. The indicator or trend line alert is going to be the alert we just went over. And then the multi-factor alert is going to be, sorry, my phone just went off. The multi-factor alert is going to be essentially that conditional criteria. So in this case, if I go to alert name, maybe I want to name it possible breakout. I choose the expiration, very similar to the other alert that I just created on the trend line. And then you just go and create your conditions. So if you guys have a set of conditions that you want to create an alert on, you simply just need to know the Boolean conditions. So you'd go to add parameter, click condition. Let's say that we're on the daily chart. So we'd go daily and we go first indicator we want to do is the MACD. So we do MACD crossed up through the other indicator, which is the signal. We do the daily MACD signal. So that's our first condition that we've created. Second condition is daily indicator. And let's say we want to be alerted when the Williams percent range breaks through negative 30. You go down, find Williams percent range crossed up through the constant level of negative 30. And then you've created your two conditions that you want to be alerted at. So this really allows you to create conditions, wait for those conditions to be met. So you're not actually just kind of going out there without any type of plan. Anytime that I haven't had a plan or I didn't stick to my plan or stick to my position sizing, that's when I've always really messed up my trade. It's, you never mess up a trade by sticking to your plan, because even if you lose, at least you're losing with a plan. So this allows you to stick to that plan, lets you stick to those conditions that need to be met in order for you to take the trade, rather than just going out and, you know, pressing buttons just to press them. So in this case, let's say somebody randomly told you about the MACD crossing up and the Williams percent range crossing above negative 30. They go to you, they say, oh, this is the best signal that I've ever found, especially on Tesla. It's really strong. You know, you're like, okay, that's great, but let's test it out. You can go and before you create this alert, you can test this and back test the strategy to see what the return is. What's the win rate? What, you know, what's the loss rate? So we'd go here, we'd use as entry condition. So on the back test, the entry is the MACD crossed up, the Williams percent range 5 crossed up through negative 30. And let's say that we want to know what's the return after 10 candles. So that would be pretty much 2 weeks of trading. So we test it out. We see, all right, well, not bad. The mean trade return is 9.23%. There's only been one position analyzed though over 10 years of data for Tesla for these two conditions being met at the same time. So you don't have a lot of data to go off of. And the main thing is what's called the performance chart. The performance chart is going to tell you, does your strategy that you just back tested, does it even beat buy and hold? So in this case, yes, you would have had 100% win rate on this particular position, but you'd only be up 9.23% over the last 10 years compared to 8,000% if you would have just held Tesla. So this is really telling you, does your strategy even have an edge just beating buy and hold strategy? So this is really, really important because it allows you to go in and see, you know, because what's the point of trading if you can't beat buy and hold? You're wasting money on commissions. If you're trading options, there's still some type of commission in there. Obviously, if you're trading common stock, almost every broker is free now, but you still have to keep that in mind. You have to keep your time in mind, how much it takes for you to be trading and keeping an eye on the market when you could just buy and hold and sit back and check it in 2 years. So the performance chart really does tell you if you even have an edge in the market. Let's go to just a MACD cross and we'll retest this out. And you could even go and see here. So there's only been, we're on the monthly. That's one reason why we probably didn't get as many signals here. So here's the MACD cross. 65 times in 8 years of data, Tesla has had a MACD cross. Your mean trade return is 2.98%. Your win rate is 55%. Your loss rate is 45%. And if you would have traded this perfectly over the last 8 years, 65 different times, you would be up 331%. And that's pretty solid. But then you compare it to the asset performance of 5,900%, and you may as well just hold Tesla and forget about it rather than trying to trade the MACD perfectly, because you're going to make more money, at least over the historical performance, by simply just buying and holding. And then you can see this on the chart. Anytime there's been a MACD cross, you'll see it on the chart. So anytime you see entry, that's when the MACD crossed. It takes the position the next day. And then your exit is simply after 10 trading days. So you can see here, anytime that there's been a positive return with a MACD, you'll see the green green exit. And like I said, the exit is just a function of 10 days after the entry, because that's what we defined it as. If you did want to go in and you wanted to create a script where you exit when the MACD crosses to the downside, you just go in to add parameter, condition, indicator, MACD crossed down through the signal, and that's your exit condition. You retest it, and you can see the mean trade return increases to 6.53%. And you're doing decently well here. 2,400% you would make if you would have traded the MACD perfectly, but you're still not even beating the buy and hold even close to it, really. So, you know, this will really help you see, do I even have an edge with this strategy? And what's really cool about this is something called the Price Explorer. So you'll see here, let me just redo this session. So you'll see here something, I guess it doesn't have it now. Let's go back to the daily. So you'll see this cloud here. And if you guys are familiar with how they kind of map out hurricane potential paths of where a hurricane is going, look at that type of map, just like Tesla here on this Price Explorer. So what happened is we recently had a MACD cross. So we technically just took a trade here, or the back tester took a trade, and there hasn't been another MACD cross down. So this is still open. So what this cloud is doing, and what this this blue line is, this is your mean trade return. So it's actually mapping out visually, how is this particular entry that the system just took for this MACD cross, how is it performing relative to all the other times that the MACD has crossed? And so you'll see this cloud right here is the biggest move the MACD ever had, or for Tesla ever had during a MACD cross. This move at the bottom is the biggest move to the downside the MACD ever had. So you can get an idea of, relatively speaking, how is this latest entry doing? And you can see here that we're trading right a little below the mean trade return. So this is kind of an average trade here. Now, if we were trading way down here, and let's say the candle looked more like this, we know that we would be trading at one of the biggest losses ever on a MACD cross, because we're below that cloud, which pretty much shows the biggest move down that a MACD cross has ever had. So it shows you, relatively speaking, how is this last entry doing relative to the previous performance when a MACD has crossed. So it's something that's really helpful. It gives you an idea of just the relative performance of how things are doing. Now, the strategy tester is something you can use with the Boolean algebra. But you can also use the market scanner. So if we go to the market scanner here, it's just at the top right next to strategy tester, you'll be able to go in and actually test out a strategy, or excuse me, scan for a strategy that you just tested out if you like it. So this is something that's applicable to anything. So it's Thursday, right? So we go to the weekly chart. We can see here that, in Tesla's case, the MACD just crossed on the weekly side of things. But what I want to do is I want to show you guys what's called the current candle. And this is probably what makes the platform, the scanner, the most unique compared to other scanners out there. So let's say that you want to look for weekly bullish engulfing candles. You can do that two ways. So you can go to condition, you can go to weekly candlestick pattern, and you just type in bullish engulfing. So it says engulfing bullish right here. And we can scan either a particular watch list that I've created, or we can scan through, let's say, the S&P 500. And there's two ways to do this. If I scan the weekly bullish engulfing right now, you'll be able to scan for bullish engulfing candles that happened last week. So this is scanning for bullish engulfing candles that actually have closed over the last week. And right now there are none. Or we can scan the current candle. So that means that we're scanning the current S&P 500 candles on the weekly side of things that are forming a bullish engulfing candle now. So there's still a trading day and a half left for the S&P 500 or the whole market in general. But what you can do is you can go in and see, all right, which candle is starting to form an engulfing candle. EA is actually looking really interesting right here. Obviously, we have not closed the week. So this bullish engulfing candle is a function of just engulfing this previous body here. And right now, those conditions are met within the scanner. Now, let's say EA drops tomorrow, then this is likely isn't going to close as a bullish engulfing candle. But you know today, maybe it's time to keep an eye on EA into the rest of the week. So the current candle allows you just to get an idea of maybe what's looking decent, going into the end of a time period. So if you were trading, let's say, the 30-minute chart, and we wanted to look for bullish engulfing candles on the 30-minute chart currently forming now, the 30-minute chart has not closed, but we have an idea of what things are actually starting to close here. So if we go to the 30-minute chart, you'll see here that we do have a bullish engulfing candle here on Coca-Cola on the 30-minute chart, even though this candle hasn't closed yet, you know that it's showing some strength because it is showing up as a bullish engulfing candle on the 30-minute chart right now. So it allows you to get a little bit of ahead of the game. Most people who are scanning conditions that have already happened. And this allows you to scan for things that are currently happening. So you can get an idea of maybe what should I start looking for into the next 6 minutes. So there's 6 minutes left until this candle closes. You have an idea that Coca-Cola is probably one to keep an eye on the 30-minute chart going into the rest of the day. So, and honestly, the MACD looks pretty solid here as well. Maybe you should keep an eye on Coca-Cola here in the coming couple days. But anyways, that's how you can use the scanner. You can do this on anything. If you wanted to look for, you know, current 30-minute MACDs crossing that haven't actually crossed yet, but they're crossing, you know, as of now, you can do that as well. And you can do this with as many timeframes up to 3 or 5, I think. I'm not sure if it's 5. I think it's 3. So you could do a daily bullish engulfing candle. You could do a 2-hour MACD cross and a 15-minute RSI breaks above 50, or whatever the case is. You can do that with the scanner. So scanner is really nice for that. It really allows you to kind of be efficient in that sense. Now, the next thing that I want to go over is the ability to kind of see things in a new light. And what do I mean by that? The raindrop chart is something that's proprietary to TrendSpider. And now we're kind of getting into the volume side of things. We have a lot of different volume visualizations that are unique to the platform. Excuse me. Raindrops being definitely the most popular. So in this case, visualizing volume flow within candlestick charts is exactly what you're doing with a raindrop. You can see here that this little diagram will show you what a raindrop is. And essentially, you have your volume weighted average price on the left. You have your volume weighted average price on the right. The left is your first half of the period, whether you're looking at the 30-minute chart or the daily chart, whatever. We have anywhere from 10 minutes up to 1 day for the raindrops right now. We are working on getting weekly raindrops, monthly raindrops once we get a new data feed in there. But this really allows you to see within the candle, because let's say that you're looking at the daily chart and you see the daily volume bar for whatever day you're looking at. That's just telling you how much volume was for the day. It's not telling you anything about where that volume was located. Was there a spot within the range that really had a lot of volume? In order to do that, you would need to go down to the 1 minute time frame, the 2 minute time frame, and really start looking to see, you know, where are these volume blocks coming in on this shorter term time frame, where the raindrop is going to just tell you the histogram of the entire day. So the left hand side here, you can see this bulge. That is the first half of the day. So as I mentioned, the left bar is your VWAP. However, the little squiggly line here is the actual volume profile for the first half of the day. And then, as I mentioned, the right side is the second half of the day's VWAP with the volume histogram as well. So it's something that really allows you to dig deep and not have to go do a ton of work going into smaller time frames. You get all of that information in one daily candle. So I personally use the raindrop most of the time on the daily candle, just because I'm more of a swing trader, a position trader. So I'm not really too worried about, you know, a shorter term time frame unless I'm trying to enter. And at that point, I would use the 65-minute chart to enter, simply because there's 390 minutes in a day divided by 65 is 6 even candles. If you're using an hourly candle, divide 60 divided by 390 or 390 divided by 60, and you're getting 6.5 candles. So, you know, with an hourly 60-minute chart, you have the last candle is actually only half of a candle, or it's only 30 minutes compared to 60 minutes of the other ones. So that's why I personally use the 65-minute chart. I was taught that by Brian Shannon. It makes mathematical sense. It keeps the charts even. You don't have some random half 30-minute candle, you know, for the last part of the day. You have 6 even candles using 65 minutes. So this is a bigger diagram of the raindrop. You'll see here that the volume profile is highlighted here, volume profile mini chart, and that's on both sides. So the volume profile on the left, volume profile on the right, first half of the day, second half of the day. And then there's 3 different colors. You can have a bullish raindrop. So if you're familiar with price bars or bar charts, essentially, you know, your left bar here is your open, your right bar is your close, and it's green because your close is higher than your open. The bullish raindrop is green because your volume weighted average price during the second half of the day up here on the right is higher than the first. So it shows that buyers were in control, at least from a volume weighted average price perspective, compared to the first half of the day. Neutral raindrop is essentially a volume-based doji. So if you're familiar with a doji candle, your open and close are equal. In this case, your your volume weighted average price for the first and the second half of the day are equal. And so this is where you get the blue, purple, whatever color that is to you. We're still trying to figure out what exactly color that is. But this is what we call a neutral raindrop. And this is really useful when you're looking at setups that have had a really big move up or a really big move down. And especially if you have two of these in a row, the chances of a reversal are pretty high. And I'll go over a couple examples of this on both the bullish side and the bearish side. The bearish raindrop is just the opposite of the bullish raindrop. Your volume weighted average price during the second half of the time period you're looking at is lower than the first. So your right bar is lower than your left bar, very similar to a regular price bar where your close on the left is lower than the right, it's red. So those are the three different colors that you can choose from or that you'll see on the chart. And the best way to use these is really from, at least from my research and my perspective that I've seen, is three different ways. One, you can view the volume flow within a candlestick wick. So let's say that you've got a candle that has this huge wick. You want to know what's going on within that wick. Why did the volume pull back? Why did the price pull back and close, let's say, much lower or much higher, whatever the case is, whatever type of candle you're looking at. So the raindrop, what I like to do is compare these side by side to see, all right, what's going on in the candle versus the raindrop. Second one is view the volume flow around resistance and support areas. So if you're looking to see, you know, a potential breakout area, you want to look at the raindrop to see, is there actually conviction by buyers? Meaning, is there a lot of volume at the top of the range? And I'll go over a couple case studies on that. Then the last one is looking for just discrepancies between colors. So raindrop versus hollow candle. Sometimes you'll have a red candle and a green raindrop, and that's a discrepancy. And that's something to keep in mind. It doesn't mean because you had a green raindrop versus a red candle, you're going to go up, but it's worth keeping an eye on. I've seen both. I've seen price really go up quite a bit after that discrepancy. But then in a case where you're, let's say, in a very strong downtrend, you may have a red candle and a green raindrop, but continue down. And that was a case study I saw on ExxonMobil over the last couple of weeks, or maybe it was a month ago, where you just had so much selling pressure. It didn't matter what type of discrepancy you saw. Sellers were massively in control. Now, this did kind of signal a little bit of a bounce, but it didn't signal anything past 1 or 2 days. So I'll go over a couple different examples of this. The first one that I want to go over is on CGC. This was a couple days ago. And you'll see here, we have the hollow candle on the left. We have the raindrop on the right. And you'll see here on November 6th, we've got this candle here with this huge wick. The wick is almost 50% of the entire range of that day. And what you'll see is, you know, maybe some people see this as, oh, sellers came in and pushed the price down. Well, I see it as there was likely a huge rush of demand that came in that outpaced supply. And then once that demand stopped coming in, supply and demand went back into equilibrium and the price dropped because the supply and demand curve shift. So now the way that you can visualize this is using the raindrop. Notice within this wick here, and let me just highlight, these are the same two candles on, you know, just one is a raindrop, one is a regular candle. You'll see that big bulge of volume within this wick. So you'll see here that yes, there actually was, and this is a question we get all the time. Is this buying volume or is it selling volume, or how do you know if it's buying volume or selling volume? Volume always is going to have a buyer and a seller. So it's hard to distinguish if it's buying or selling volume. What is easier to distinguish is where are buyers stepping in? So in this case, you can see this big bulge of volume up here really tells us that yes, of course there was sellers at the top of this range. How would somebody buy it? What we want to know is, was there conviction by buyers? Were buyers absorbing that supply within this wick? And the answer is yes. How do we know that? Because there's this huge bulge of volume. If there was no conviction by buyers at the top of the range here, it would look like this next candle, which is flat. Notice here, the next candle, we did gap up. So this was on a Friday. This was CGC earnings the next day. We had a nice move up. However, it did pull back. And we had an idea that this was likely going to be a pullback simply because you see in this candle, it's the opposite of this highlighted orange raindrop. It's flat at the top. We know there was no conviction by buyers up here because there was no supply absorbed at the top of the range. Anytime supply is being absorbed, you'll have this big bulge of volume here. So essentially, raindrops are allowing you to see within the candle so you don't have to go down to the 2-minute chart or the 1-minute chart to see where that volume was coming in. The raindrop is telling you where that volume is being absorbed within the day's range. range. And so this is absolutely game changing. I've been trading for quite a long time. I've been using technical analysis for about 10 years, and this has completely changed the way I view the markets. And it really just allows you to make the whole process of looking for, you know, where buyers and sellers are located just through a single candle, you know. So this is really, really powerful. This is just a great case study based on, you know, the candle here with the wick. Volume was in the wick. We knew that this was likely going to probably continue up the next day, which it did. And then once this candle formed on earnings, we knew this was pretty weak going into the next day simply because there was no volume at the top of the range. Now, this isn't a magical, you know, indicator. It's not going to work like this every time. I've seen raindrops form like this that continue up the next day. But it's kind of like just sticking to, you know, blackjack. There's specific rules in blackjack. Just because you follow them doesn't mean you're going to win every hand. It's the same type of concept with raindrops. There's a principle, and most of the time that those properties of the raindrop work, but there are times where they're not going to work. And so, but for the most part, anytime you see this type of discrepancy, you definitely want to pay more attention. 1 second. Sorry, the squirrels are out today and the dog's going crazy. So this is an example on CGC really being able to see within the wick. Now, you can use this in other ways, as I mentioned. SLV was an interesting example of this a couple months ago. And what we had on SLV was essentially, let me just remove this, a huge discrepancy here. So we had this, I wouldn't say this is the most bullish raindrop, but it was a high for the move up. And so what you could see here is, you can see this hollow candle here, which tells us that the close is higher than the open, and we closed above the previous day's close. But then you go to the raindrop and you'll see that this actually was a red raindrop. And so what you're able to do is you're able to see, okay, yeah, sure, the regular candle is showing that the close was higher than the open, but the red raindrop is showing us that actually there wasn't as much strength as you'd think. And if you look here, same thing, let's look within the wick. There's not a lot of volume at the top of the range. Most of the volume is kind of just formed in the middle here. And this is about as close as you can get to a blue raindrop before not being a blue raindrop. So being able to look for discrepancies between the colors of candles versus raindrops is another great way to do this. Same thing here, right? We've got this red candle down here, but this was a green raindrop and we have a nice gap up the next day. So really, you know, this isn't something that just because you have a green raindrop and a red candle and you have a gap up the next day, that's kind of your move. That doesn't necessarily signal anything for the coming days, it's more or less the next day. And so these raindrops are forming throughout the day. So you can look at these forming pretty much into the close. So it's not like these raindrops randomly magically appear at the end of the day. They're forming throughout the day. Just like here, you can see here for silver today, and this is the current raindrop. You know, it's as the day goes on, this raindrop will continue to form today. And you can see, at least for now, there's quite a bit of volume at the top of the range. So we know that there is currently conviction by buyers near the top of today's range. And that's something that you can't do with just a regular candle. You'd really have to go into multiple time frames and shorter time frames to see that occurring, where the raindrop is doing all that work for you. Now, the next way, and this is kind of the way I use it, it's a mix of the wick, looking at the wicks and then looking at breakout zones. Here's a really cool case study on Spotify. What is this, 2 weeks ago maybe? What you see here is, you see that we have this trend line, diagonal resistance, just connecting this point here to this point here, extending that line. And we had another breakout here, or attempted breakout. And you can see that we closed below resistance. However, the wick did actually wick through this resistance line. But then if you go to the raindrop, you'll see something very different. You'll see that there was no volume within that wick. So we know there was no conviction by buyers in that breakout. And so this is something that's really powerful, because there are times where you will have a wick like this that has a lot of volume above this resistance line, and you get a nice continuation up. In this case, we know that this was this wick was likely a move on very low volume, because we know that there was no volume shown by the raindrop at the top of this range. So this allows you to really kind of have that X-ray vision within the candle without having to go down to those smaller time frames. And this is one of the best case studies as of lately. You just had this this perfect breakout attempt. You could see that there was literally no volume within that wick, and we had a strong continuation down. Now compare that to an example like Lowe's, where Lowe's actually had the opposite, right? You can see here, Lowe's had the same thing that we just talked about on Spotify, except this time we have our wick, we have a close below the resistance line, but then you look at the raindrop and you'll see a lot of that volume profile is above resistance, and you have your continuation up for days to come. So being able to look for those discrepancies within these wicks is something that's incredibly powerful. You can see here the next, on October 16th, we had this wick here, and you can see there just wasn't a lot of volume at the top of the range. You know, during the right-hand side, there wasn't any volume at the top of the range. It was flat. So anytime you see something flat on the raindrop, it's telling you that there was likely little to no volume at that area. So this is just a really great way to look for discrepancies and be able to look at volume flow within a candle without having to do too much extra work. Lowe's is just a great example of this. Like I said, we closed below resistance. We did have the wick above resistance. The raindrop showed us that there was quite a bit of buying conviction within that wick, and then we have the continuation up. So I can go over examples like this all day, but I think you guys get the point on how it works. But it is something that, you know, is not an end-all be-all. Just because you see volume above the wick does not mean that you can't have a little bit of a pullback. I've seen both. But I've also seen a lot of the time where you have a balloon breakout. We call this a balloon breakout because it's essentially a balloon. You can scan for these. So you just go to the market scanner. Let's say that it's maybe 30 minutes before the close. I can go into the S&P 500, scan the current candle. That means I'm scanning today's candle, and I want to scan for the daily candlestick pattern. I just type in balloon raindrop, scan, and any of those types of formations that we're seeing right here on this Lowe's candle on the breakout will show up. Right now, the S&P 500 doesn't have any balloon raindrops because it's kind of a funky day right now. But if you do have, you know, a pretty strong day with a lot of breadth in the market, that's really when you'll find a lot of these balloon raindrops and likely get some nice continuation in the next day. So if you do like the concept of these raindrops, you can scan for, let's say, these types of setups, the balloon setup. So that is raindrops. Another thing that I want to go over is something called the anchored volume by price. So I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with volume profile. I mean, volume profile is pretty much what the raindrop is, volume profile for the day. But you can also use the volume profile on the actual chart. So volume profile is not something that's incredibly unique to TrendSpider. But what's unique to TrendSpider is the overall visual experience that you can have with the volume profile. On most platforms, the volume profile starts at this candle. It just essentially says, okay, this is the start of the chart. We're going to measure the volume profile from this point in time. Well, that point in time, in this case, is important. It's the all-time highs, but sometimes it's not. It's just a random candle. And a lot of the time, you want to measure the volume profile from an important area. So in this case, we want to see, all right, what is the volume distribution since we topped out in mid-October? And you can see here that for the most part, a majority of volume is holding in two areas. It's holding from around, let's say, 342 to 345. And then there's another area here holding from around 349 to 351. And the way this works is these are break-even supply and break-even demand zones. So you'll see here on SPY, notice, you know, there was a lot of shares holding at 350. When the price moved up on Monday, had this huge gap up, there were a lot of shares, as you can see here, this big bulge of shares was up almost 4% on the spot price on the common stock. Now, as the price starts dropping, all of these shares are running out of profit margin, i.e., you know, they're going to sell until they don't have profit. So as the price drops back down to where they're break even, we call this a break even demand zone because this was previously an area where there was demand. The price was able to bounce off this area. But now, as the price gets back down to this volume shelf, well, I call it a volume shelf. Some people are going to call it a point of control, but a point of control is really just this one volume node, whereas this is more or less a group of volume nodes. And so I call it a volume shelf because that's kind of what it looks like to me. And you'll see here, you know, the price bounces a lot of the time at these areas. Now, anytime the price is above one of these volume shelves, we're going to call it a break-even demand zone because as the price gets back down onto the shelf. All of this previous demand is now back to break even. And the price can actually bounce, not because buyers stepped in, but because selling dried up. There's no more sellers because nobody has any profit. At least a majority of these people don't have profit anymore. So why would they sell? Supply dries up. You simply get a bounce based on the supply and demand curve shift. And then you can see we're likely going to retest this zone. And we'll see at this point in the next day or two if this area holds. And if it doesn't, we have an area with what I like to call a volume gap below, which shows that there's not a lot of liquidity here. So if the price can't hold this first volume shelf, it's likely that the price can drop very quickly through this volume gap because there's not a lot of liquidity there. And so this really allows you to see, where is the volume distributed since a specific point in time. And generally you want to anchor these points from a pivot, a previous high, a previous low. I would anchor it from this point here, but there's only been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days here. And when there isn't a ton of candle data, i.e. there's only 9 days of action here, sometimes you'll get the volume profile looking kind of clunky like this. So a lot of the time you do want to go back far enough where there is a little more fluidity within the volume profile. And so that's why in this case, I did do it from this high here rather than the low, because it's just a little clunky. But even from the low here, you can see a majority of volume is holding right at this area right here, right around this 350 area. So this is a big area for the price to hold. This is where a majority of people are break even. As the price starts to move down through that area, this area would then become a supply zone. So if we go to Tesla is a great example of this. If we go and we want to anchor the volume by price from that same high that we just did in SPY, you'll see that there's a lot of overhead supply right here. And if we anchor it from the all-time high, you can see how much volume there is here. So Tesla is just having a hard time breaking through all of this overhead supply. Because remember, if you bought Tesla in this area, and this area is around 422 up to around 430, when the price is down in the 415 area, you're holding at a loss. So as the price goes back to where you're break even, some people look at opportunity cost and look at, okay, this position has done nothing for me. I'm back to break even. I'm getting out. And that is what we call break even supply. These people come in, they're back to break even, and they dump when they're back to break even, and that adds supply to the equation. So anytime that the price is below one of these volume shelves, it's going to act as break even supply. Anytime the price, as we just talked about on SPY, is above one of these areas, it's going to act as break even demand. So hopefully that example and that explanation kind of explained how you can use this, but this is something I use all the time. It really helps me see kind of what's going on in the market. So that is the anchored volume by price. We do have the anchored VWAP by Brian Shannon as well. So if you are familiar, it's very similar. You simply anchor the VWAP from a specific point in time, but unlike the volume by price, you're only going to get an exact price. So what is the volume weighted average price since we topped out in October? And you'll see it's more down here around, let's say, 343, 342. So the anchored volume by price and the anchored VWAP together are something that work really nice in conjunction. So make sure to check this out. We do have a 7-day free trial if you guys want to try it out. We actually have 59% off currently. So if you did want to try out TrendSpider today and sign up for the 7-day free trial, you would be locked into that 59% discount. So just because you sign up today and you have 7 days free, it's not what the discount is in 7 days. It's what the discount is the day you sign up. So today it's 59% off. You have your 7-day free trial. In 7 days, you have the ability to lock in that 59% off once you're done trialing it. So a lot of different things to check out on the platform. The last thing that I'm going to go over is a little less on the technical side and more on just seasonal trends. We have the ability to look at seasonality. So let's say we go to SPX and we go to the monthly chart here. You'll see here that let me just turn on the auto trends and we'll just have this draw this megaphone area. So it's double click that, turn off trends. So right now we're at a pretty crucial level on this broadening formation here. So one, from a technical perspective, we're at resistance. But then if we go into the sidebar, show sidebar, we can do something called seasonality. So you can see here monthly, I can drop down the menu monthly. monthly, day of the week, day of the year, And you can test out these different time frames. So let's say you want to look at the monthly chart and you want to look and see how has the S&P 500 SPX done each month since January. And you'll see here, what I've done is I've put in a filter here. So let me just copy that, get rid of it. So if we're just looking at the last 20 years of data, this is how the S&P 500 is done on a month-to-month basis. So these percentages for November, it says 76%. That means over the last 21 years, 76% of Novembers have closed green compared to the month of October. Now, this year is important. It's an election year. So what you can do is you can go in and actually filter out all of the non-election years. And I already have that copy and pasted here. And you'll see how big of a difference this makes. This is the seasonality for election years. So you'll see here, October only has a 17% win rate during the month of October, anytime there's an election year. And so we can do this with the VIX. And this is something that kind of kept me out of the market in October. Because if we go to the VIX, you'll see here, looking back at the VIX over the last 20 years of data, you know, October has a 57% win rate. That means that VIX has closed green 57% of the time in October over the last 20 years. Now let's do the same thing. We'll add election years and look at that. During election years, October has a 100% win rate. We could even go back to 1990. And even since 1990, October has had a win rate 100%. So that means every October during an election year has closed green, i.e. there's a lot of volatility before elections in November. And so this is really helpful data. So you're not caught, you know, being really bullish when historically this is not a very bullish month for SPY. It's a very bullish month for, or last month in October was very bullish for VIX. And that's exactly what we saw this October, a huge move up in the VIX. And then look here, November during election years, the VIX is only green 13% of the time. So all of those election jitters are done. And you can see here that VIX generally closes red in November. It only has a 13% win rate during election years. And looky here, we have this huge red candle. So being able to use charts and then being able to apply seasonal and historical trends to the charts gives you just that much more of an edge in the market. So as I mentioned, we have a 7-day free trial. You can try all of these different features out. If you have any questions, let me know. And 59% off until tomorrow. So the sale that we have going on right now, it drops off each day. So if you wait till tomorrow, it's going to be 58% off. If you wait till the next day, it's going to be 57% off until we get down to 50%. And that will be 50% off the rest of the month. So huge discounts right now. This is going to definitely be the cheapest that you'll get TrendSpider probably for at least the next year. We may not even do this big of a discount next year. So make sure to check it out. If you guys have any questions, please let me know and I'll hand it back over to David.